you to Kim Quine for Daybreak, and Andy Wint will be along at 10 with Super Gold Sunday. But right now, this is Judith Leigh saying Moramai, good morning, and welcome to our new programme here on Manx Radio. In these unfamiliar times, with so much of island life on hold, the Christian churches of the island are united to be at your service, living faith together. And each Sunday at this time, I'll be here to bring you music, reflection, prayer, and some thoughts prepared by members of different churches around the island, all with the shared desire to lift us up, strengthen, and encourage us. And so, as the doors of our churches stay closed, welcome. We are at your service. Manx Radio. Now, you're going to hear different voices, and I do want to reassure you that we didn't break any social distancing rules. Computer technology made it possible to record the various people taking part today without any of us actually seeing each other. And that explains why our voices will sound slightly different, not something that would happen if we were able to be together in the studio. So let's get started with music from Wallingford Parish Church Choir, who were Classic FM's Choir of the Year not so long ago. Being based in an Oxfordshire village means they have featured as extras in the popular television drama Midsummer Murders, frequently drafted onto the set when church life features in the plot. But happily, they've all lived to tell the tale. Here they are with a splendid orchestral arrangement of Guide Me, O Thou Great Redeemer. Wallingford Parish Church Choir and Guide Me, O Thou Great Redeemer. Judy Cannon lives in Onchan and is a trained retreat leader and prayer guide who loves helping people to develop a deeper spiritual life. For Judy, this prayer, written by Brother Bernard of the Society of St. Francis, sums up the confusion that we so often feel.
Lord, I want to love you, yet I'm not sure. I want to trust you, yet I'm afraid of being taken in. I know I need you, yet I'm ashamed of the need. I want to pray, yet I'm afraid of being a hypocrite. I need my independence, yet I fear to be alone. I want to belong, yet I must be myself. Take me, Lord, yet leave me alone. O Lord, if you are there, you do understand, don't you? Give me what I need, but leave me free to choose. Help me work it out on my own, but don't let me go. Let me understand myself, but don't let me despair. Lighten my darkness, but don't dazzle me. Help me to see what I need to do, and give me strength to do it. O Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief.
He's not mad at you, and he's not disappointed. His grace is greater still than all of your wrong choices. He is full of mercy, and he is ever kind. Hear his invitation, his arms are open wide. You can come as you are, with all your broken pieces and all your shameful scars.
Come As You Are, sung there by the Sydney Staff Songsters from Australia, one of the many fine Salvation Army choirs around the world. And there'll be more music from them and more words from Judy Cannon later in the programme. Today's Bible reading is from the Gospel according to John. It's a powerful story with an amazingly relevant message for our present time. David Suchet reads from the Bible, and Reverend Alex Brown shares some thoughts on what the story is saying to us today.
We all have 24 hours in a day, but we don't all have the same span of time. The story of Lazarus in John's Gospel is a story about the end of someone's time, and Jesus' response to that. In the story, one of Jesus' closest friends, a man called Lazarus, has become ill, and Jesus has remained far away.
Now a man named Lazarus was ill. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary, and her sister Martha. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is ill." When he heard this, Jesus said, "This illness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed where he was for 2 more days, and then he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." "But Rabbi," they said, "a short while ago the Jews there tried to stone you, and yet you're going back?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Anyone who walks in the daytime will not stumble, for they see by this world's light. It is when a person walks at night that they stumble, for they have no light." After he had said this, he went on to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to wake him up." His disciples replied, "Lord, if he sleeps, he'll get better." Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and for your sake I'm glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, If you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection of the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she replied. "I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." After she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. "The teacher is here," she said, "and is asking for you." When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance.
Anyone who's been through something like this knows that for those first few days, it just feels surreal. Jesus comes to the family. He speaks to them. And he weeps. The maker of the universe weeps at the death of his friend. But there is a reason why this particular death is so painful for Jesus. It's because he knows that in just a few days' time, his own time is going to be taken from him in a cruel act of power-hungry desperation by the very people he came to offer peace and salvation to. As Jesus looks at the weeping crowd, is he imagining his own family who will be there weeping for him? As he comes to the tomb, is he looking at his own dance with death? And as he sees the stone that's in front of Lazarus's tomb, is he imagining the stone which is going to seal him into his own death?
"Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there's a bad odour, for he has been in there 4 days. Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone.
But there's a change. Jesus begins to speak to Lazarus's sisters about life, about hope beyond the grave, and about resurrection. He says that he is this life, and he is this hope, and he is this resurrection. Those who believe will be able to see life even after death. He says that they're about to watch and witness God in all of his brilliance.
Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out."
The stone is rolled away, just like in a few days' time, it will be rolled away from Jesus' tomb also. And Jesus shouts Lazarus' name and boldly instructs him simply to get up and to come out. Oh, how many times have we been in a place where we feel surrounded by darkness or stillness or the death of everything that is good? How many times have we needed to hear Jesus shout to us, maybe today more than ever, "Come out, arise and come out."
The dead man came out. his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen, and a cloth round his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go."
So Lazarus simply walks out to gasps of amazement. And ironically, in John's gospel, it's this incredible miracle which is the trigger for the end of Jesus' life, as the religious leaders see how powerful Jesus is, and they put the meat on the bones of their plans to see him off.
Therefore, many of the Jews who had come to visit Mary and had seen what Jesus did believed in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. Then the chief priests and the Pharisees called a meeting of the Sanhedrin. "What are we accomplishing?" they asked. "Here is this man performing many signs. If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him, and then the Romans will come and take away both our temple and our nation." Then one of them, named Caiaphas, who was high priest that year, spoke up. "You know nothing at all. You do not realize that it is better for you that one man die for the people than that the whole nation perish." So from that day on, they plotted to take his life.
It's Jesus' life and death and resurrection, which is the power that God offers us today, to all of us, to a world in need, specifically to any with the courage to reach out to him and in faith believe that we too can experience this resurrection power in us today, not just at the end of our time, but right here and now. He truly still is the resurrection and the life. So may your hope rise. May your faith grow. May your darkness become light all around you as you too place your hope in the one who has beaten death and reaches out to you. Would you hear his voice say to you today, "Arise and come out"?
Thank you to Reverend Alex Brown for reflecting on the story of the raising of Lazarus from the dead as told in St. John's Gospel. You heard Alex mention the death and resurrection of Jesus himself, and that story that's at the very heart of our Christian faith is what we'll be exploring in words, music and reflections on this programme over the next two Sundays, Palm Sunday and then the Great Feast of Easter. I do hope you'll be listening. One of the concerns we all have about following the very necessary rule to stay at home is to make sure that those who live alone don't become lonely or feel isolated. Judy Cannon lives alone, but she joins us again now to explain why she quite definitely feels she is not alone.
"We are not alone. We are not alone. We are not alone. God is with us. We are not alone. We are not alone, we are not alone, God is with us, we are not alone, we are not alone, we are not alone."
A couple of days ago, I made a decision. I decided to shelve all those self-imposed expectations I had had for this time of isolation. I had told myself that I would clean out cupboards and drawers and the roof space. Oh yes, and shred no longer needed paperwork. And if we were still in lockdown after those were all sorted, I'd make a start on the garage and the garden. Now, these are all very commendable jobs to be jobbed, as we used to say in days gone by. You know, those days we remember fondly when life was very full. Full-time work, school runs, club nights and social activities that filled all our days and led to accumulating clutter, both physical and mental. I may yet get around to some of those jobs, and then again, maybe I won't. One thing's for sure, I don't want to listen to my inner bully any longer. This bully voice is one I've listened to for too long. Driving me on to do more is the one I've heard say, "You really shouldn't waste this time doing nothing. Looking out of the window and seeing something I've never seen before. Standing at the front door, experiencing the breeze on my face. Listening to the sound of the birds? Yes, and really hearing them, as if for the first time with no background noise of overhead aircraft. What a waste! What can you possibly learn from doing all that? Our inner bully voice has spoken loudly to many of us in previous times too, and we've often felt we've nowhere to run to, so we continue to listen to it. We allow ourselves to be distracted by busyness and in the chaos and confusion that result. Our longings and our frustrations and our struggles, both internally and externally, increase. But I've begun to wonder, what if this time could all be part of a preparation for a something other, something bigger? Maybe I can feel physically alone in my house, but how I look on this time is my choice. If I live alone, I can no longer get a hug from a family member or a buddy. I can no longer go for a long trip in the car just to get away from the four walls. These freedoms and others are now limited. So has this time, this changed era, become the preparation for a something other? Could this possibly be a time of transformation for us all? The bully voice drives and demands action. The voice of love, kindness and gentleness says, come, find a resting and healing place where you are never alone. Can we treat these days of silence that we may have once feared as gift? Sitting quietly on our favourite chair or standing at the front door, or gazing at a garden, may we discover a whole new world. I'm discovering that it isn't helpful for me to overanalyse or moralise right now, but to just sit and breathe and to allow whatever it is to gently evolve, and with it may evolve insights yet to be discovered about my own personal connectedness with God and all God's created world. May I, may we, in the silence, be able to recognise that we are never really, completely alone.
Not alone. As promised, more music from the Sydney Staff Songsters, a fine Salvation Army choir from Australia. And we end with words from journalist and writer Anne Atkins, who's a regular contributor to BBC Radio 4's Thought for the Day, and last week was praised for an extraordinary and moving contribution in which she revealed her father had died just hours earlier. Anne's father, David Briggs, was a former head teacher of the famous King's College School in Cambridge, and as a boy, he sang at the first ever Christmas Eve carol service broadcast from the famous University College in 1928. Anne said that she told her father that she loved him and said goodbye, as usual, when she'd made her regular phone call to him on the Monday evening to get his approval for her Thought for the Day script. She told Today listeners, 5 minutes after I reached my destination, I got a call to say that he had died. A shock? Hardly. He was 102. A loss? More than words can say. Society, she said, must sometimes evaluate when not everyone can be saved. But all such evaluation is false. Death equalises all. No human life can ever be worth less than another. Listening to this reminded me of my first-hand experience of Anne's extraordinary ability to find absolutely the right thing to say in the worst of circumstances. In January 2003, Anne was the guest speaker at the President's Breakfast for members of Tynwald. The night Anne arrived on the island was the night of the tragic killing of Detective Constable Stephen Oak, as he and colleagues attempted to arrest a suspected terrorist in Manchester. You may remember that Stephen was the son of former Isle of Man Chief Constable Robin Oak. Anne Atkins didn't know Stephen or any of the Oak family, but she abandoned her prepared talk and spoke instead with great empathy about death and the Oak family's response to their tragic loss.
Yes, I was terrifically struck by, well, really two aspects of the family's response. I think the first that everybody throughout the country was struck by was the forgiveness that was immediately extended to the man who took Stephen's life, which was a wonderful Christian witness for the rest of us. And even more important, perhaps, was the comment of one of the children, "See you in heaven." It's easy for us to sort of sentimentalise something like that and think of it as a kind of wishful thinking, like, you know, hoping you'll see your favourite dog in heaven or whatever. It didn't strike me like that at all. It struck me that here are children who know, have an absolute certain hope. We tend to use hope in the wrong way sometimes, as if it's something that we hope will happen. This isn't that kind of hope. This is a certain hope that they will see their daddy again. And it was a very striking and moving thing. And I thought, what a difference the Christian faith makes, because they know they will see him again.
God is with us, we are not alone. We are not alone, we are not alone. God is with us, we are not alone. God is with us.
Thank you to Anne Atkins, Judy Cannon and Reverend Alex Brown for joining me today, and my thanks to you for listening. And I'm working on an At Your Service blog that'll be available in a couple of days' time at manxradio.com, and it'll have details of online services, videos and other helpful material that you might like to look at. So if you're making anything available online to help whilst we can't meet together, email the details to judithleigh@manxradio.com and I'll add it to the blog. And if you've got a favourite Easter hymn, do please let me know and I'll do my very best to include it in this programme in the coming weeks. But for now, this is Judith wishing you good health in the days ahead. Let's stay home absolutely as much as possible to protect our community and those we love. And next Sunday morning at 9:30, the churches of the island will once again unite to be at your service, living faith together here on your Manx Radio. Bye for now.